So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 9. The chapter is entitled Detachment from All That Is Material. Today we're doing text 28. It's not written on the board, so I'll just chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Shrishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayatma Shakta. Shrishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayatma Shaktya. Rikshansari Shripa Pasun Kagadanda Sukan. Rikshansari Shripa Pasun Kagadanda Sukan. Taistera Tushta Hridaya Purusham Vividha. Taistera Tushta Hridaya Purusham Vidhaya. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva. Srishtva Purani Vividhanya Jayatma Saktya. Srishtva Purani Vividhanya Jayatma Saktya. Vrikshan Sari Sripa Pasun Kagadanda Sukan. Vrikshan Sari Sripa Pasun Kagadanda Sukan. Taistera Tushta Hridaya Purusham Vidhaya. Taistera Tushta Hridaya Purusham Vidhaya. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva. Srishtva. Having created Purani, material bodies that house the conditioned souls. Vividani, many varieties. Ajaya, through the agency of Maya. Atmasaktya, the Lord's own potency. Vrikshan, trees. Sarishripa, reptiles. Pasun, animals. Kaga, birds. Dandashukan, snakes. Tai, by all these different varieties of bodies. Atushta, unsatisfied. Hridaya, his heart. Purusham, the human form of life. Vidhaya, creating. Brahma, the absolute truth. Avaloka, vision of. Dishanam, intelligence suitable for. Mudam, happiness. Apa, achieved. Deva, the Lord. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth, and became pleased. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth, and became pleased. Purport. God has specifically created the human form of life to facilitate the liberation of the conditioned soul. Therefore, one who abuses human life prepares his path to hell. As stated in the Vedas, Purushatve Chavistaram. In the human form of life, there is good possibility of understanding the eternal soul. The Vedas also state, Tabhyogam anayata abruvan, navai noyam alam iti, Tabhyoswam anayata abruvan, navai noyam alam iti, Tabhya purusham anayata abruvan sukritang bhata. The purport of this Shruti mantra is that lower forms of life, such as the cow and horse, are not actually suitable to fulfill the purpose of creation. But human life awards the opportunity to understand one's eternal relationship with God. Thus, one must control the material senses and fulfill the real purpose of human life. Thank you. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, the Supreme Lord personally feels happiness and gradually reveals himself to his devotee. The Lord's material creation consists of the living entities and dead matter, which the less intelligent try to enjoy. The Lord, however, is not satisfied by those species that blindly strive for sense gratification without understanding spiritual nature. We are suffering due to our forgetfulness of Krishna and the blissful situation of his abode. If we accept the Lord as protector and shelter and execute his order, we can easily revive our eternal blissful nature as parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. It is for this purpose that the Lord has created human life. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanche kalpa turubhyascha, kripa sindubhya evacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and became pleased. So this verse gives us a glimpse into you know, the nature of and actually the Lord's Krishna's own desire. This is something that we cannot really know just on our own. The living entity within this material world is covered by the modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, goodness. And he cannot actually see anything beyond that. The only way that he can understand this is from the Lord himself. The Lord helps the conditioned soul from within as the super soul and from without as the spiritual master. Actually, this is the whole purpose of the material creation. It may look from like a superficial kind of glance that the material world is meant for the enjoyment. It's to facilitate the desires that the living entities have to enjoy in different ways. It may look like that if one just looks at it and goes by, you know, what he can see, you know, what he is able to understand on his own. Thank you, Boo. But this is not actually at all the case. It's not for that, that's not the purpose of the material creation at all. I mean, that purpose may be there in some like secondary form, but that's not really the purpose of the material creation. The material creation is for one thing and one thing only, and that is to gradually lead the conditioned soul back to, you know, his true nature, his true understanding, the thing that will actually make him happy, and that is to revive his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord in devotional service. The whole thing is meant for that and that only. Actually, the process of Krishna consciousness it's very simple. It's very simple to understand. It's not necessarily simple to execute, but it's very easy to understand. The Lord actually guides the living entity at every step from within his heart, and he guides the living entity externally in the form of the spiritual master. It's kind of like the Lord is constantly holding up signboards, in front of the living entity, saying, go this way, go this way. At every step, he's actually holding up a signboard right in front of the living entity's nose, telling him exactly which way he should go. And so the process of Krishna consciousness is really that simple. You simply have to go the way that sign is telling you to go. There's also philosophy. And philosophy, it's compared in the scriptures to favorable breezes that help one along. If you have a breeze behind your back, then it really helps you to move along. If you have a breeze in your face and you're going against it, then it's very difficult to move forward. But if it's behind you and it's pushing you, it makes it much, much easier. Now, philosophy can explain everything to the living entity. It can tell him, what's going to happen to him if he doesn't follow those signboards. It tells him what happens to him if he does follow the signboards. It tells him everything. It tells him who the person is holding the signboards up, what the signboards are made of. It explains everything in great detail to the living entity. But philosophy won't really help much if you don't follow the signboards anyway. It's not really going to do you much good without following, those signboards that he's holding up for you. And if you really do follow those signboards, you don't actually even need philosophy. All you really have to do is just, follow those signboards. So the Lord is offering every possible help to the living entity, to realize his actual position. But the problem is the living entity is very stubborn and very, he has his own will. And so he's like very willful and very stubborn and kind of, dull-headed. it's just like if you're driving somewhere. And there's like a construction worker or some city worker. And he's holding up a detour sign saying, go this way. Because, there's some construction or there's some trouble up ahead. And so, the man holding the detour sign is trying to help. But generally what happens is people just get angry at him, They think, why are you, interrupting my, can't you see? I'm trying to get to work. I'm trying to get this done. I'm trying to do that. You're just causing a big problem by, telling me to go on this detour. That's generally what happens. People just really get angry and frustrated that their whole, program, their whole, what they're trying to accomplish is being like interrupted. The person's just trying to help. He's trying to warn him that, look, you can't go this way. You're going to run into trouble. I'm trying to tell you which way to go. But generally, the people just get angry. They practically want to just run them over. Or a lot of times, they just ignore and try to go, the way that they normally go anyway. So this is kind of the nature of the living entity. It really generally takes a lot for him to finally realize that, I just have to follow the instructions of the Lord. I just have to follow these signboards. I have to, everything else I've tried, And generally, we're talking about birth after birth after birth after birth. You know, everything else I've tried has just ended in misery and frustration. And so generally, it takes a lot. But the Lord's actually, this is his desire. This is really what it explains here in this verse, that, you know, creating unlimited, really unlimited, different bodies, that the living entity can try to enjoy the material energy in just every conceivable way. But, you know, the Lord, that doesn't satisfy the Lord. It states here that the Lord was satisfied only because of the human form of life, because that offered the living entity a chance to understand his real position, a chance to understand what will actually make him happy. So, you know, another thing that's being stated here is, so there are so many different forms. I gave this example a little while ago, but I'll repeat it. You know, we have some cats living at our apartment. And, you know, they started out like a stray cats, but, you know, we feed them. So they're still strays, but they're kind of our cats also, you know. And so, you know, you see them, sometimes I see them out the window, and, you know, basically, for a cat, his fun in life, you know, what he really wants to do is he wants to catch some type of a small animal. That's like their whole, you know, I mean, they have their family life also, but, you know, their fun in life is to try and catch a small animal. So, you know, they're good for catching rats, which they, you know, they're expert at that. But, you know, they catch other animals also. They'll catch anything, not just rats, you know. And so birds are very plentiful, and they're pretty easy to catch, relatively speaking. They're easy and they're very plentiful. So a lot of times these cats are going after birds. And, you know, they catch them quite often, too. Sometimes we'll see a pile of feathers somewhere, you know, they caught a bird in the night or something. So sometimes I watch them. And so the cat will be sitting in the tall grass, fixed on these birds that are, you know, in the driveway. And the birds are trying to collect seeds or trying to collect little pebbles or whatever they're collecting, and the cat's just completely fixed on these birds. But the birds are a little too far away for the cat to catch. If he tries, the birds will simply fly away. So the cat's just staring at these birds and just completely fixed on them, and he wants to catch the birds, but they're just a little too far away. Because, you know, he needs, the cat is fast, but he has to be close enough that the birds can't get away from him. Now, the birds are in the driveway, and the driveway is right in front of the garage, and the cat's off to the side. Now, all that cat has to do is sneak around the back of the garage, come up on the side, and then he would be very close to the birds, and he would catch them very easily. Now, I can see that. I'm standing looking out the window at the cat and the birds, and I can clearly see that, hey, that's all he has to do. But the cat can't figure it out. He just doesn't have the intelligence to work that out. For me, I can see it really simply. But the cat just doesn't quite see that. He just doesn't have enough intelligence. So similarly, every living entity, no matter what form of life, is given a certain amount of intelligence by the Supreme Lord, every living entity. But every living entity, according to its qualification, is given different amounts of intelligence. Now, so we all have intelligence, but we also have the choice whether or not to use it. We've got intelligence, but whether we actually use it, that's another whole question, or what we use it for. So if I'm really, really dull-headed, I'll take that superior intelligence that was given to me by the Supreme Lord and just use it to figure out a better way to catch a bird or to catch a rat or to catch whatever. But, you know, that's obviously not the proper use of the intelligence, just to try and figure out a better way to catch a bird or to, you know, get a house or to get money or, you know, to get these material things that every living entity, from the little bugs up to the elephants, you know, they're all after these same things. So obviously, if I'm given superior intelligence than all these others, it must be meant for, you know, attaining something superior. But, you know, unfortunately, this is what most living entities use their intelligence for. Simply a better way to catch a rat, or a better way to catch a bird, or, you know, a better way to whatever, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But the Lord is giving the living entity every opportunity. He's trying to help the living entity in every, you know, conceivable way. All, you know, all help, all assistance is being given to the living entity to try and attain the real purpose of life. So actually, you know, our chances are very, very, very good. Even though we may be dull-headed and, you know, not using our intelligence for what it's meant to be used for, but still the Lord really wants to help us. So our chances are actually very, very, very good. One thing that we do have to be careful of. Practically, the living entity can make every conceivable mistake, but the Lord's ready to forgive him for those mistakes. Even one can insult the Lord. One can offend the Lord in all different ways. You know, one can just act very, very, very badly, but the Lord is ready to forgive the living entity and give him another chance just at every step. He's ready to forgive just every step of the way, and he's ready to, he doesn't hold a grudge. You know, if somebody insults us, we won't speak to the person for 20 years, but the Lord's not like that. He doesn't hold a grudge at all. It's like that word is just not in Krishna's vocabulary. He never holds a grudge. He's ready to give the living entity another chance at every step of the way. But there is one thing we have to be careful about. You can insult the Lord unlimitedly, and he's not going to really take offense. But if you insult his servant, that's a different story. That's one thing that we really want to avoid. It's like there's that story of the Lord when he killed Shishupal. And Shishupal, his whole life, he was very envious of Krishna. And he did every possible, you know, bad thing and insulted him in every way. And so, you know, they were in the assembly of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And the first step of the Rajasuya sacrifice is that one person is selected, the chief person in the entire assembly. You know, the pandits, the very intelligent devotees and sages, they all determine who is the chief person in the assembly. And then that person's given the seat of honor. And so, of course, they all were selecting Krishna as the person. But Shishupal, he was so envious of Krishna, he just couldn't stand that. And so we all know Shishupal started insulting the Lord. And the Lord actually had given Shishupal's mother a promise that he would tolerate Shishupal's offenses. He said, I'll tolerate 100 offenses by Shishupal. But the actual fact is that it wasn't just that the Lord was only tolerating 100 offenses by Shishupal. He would have tolerated unlimited offenses by Shishupal and done nothing about it. The reason he actually killed Shishupal was because all the others, Bhima and the Pandavas and all Krishna's friends and devotees, they were extremely disturbed. And they were ready to just start a whole, you know, battle right in the arena of the sacrifice. So it was really for their benefit that Krishna killed Shishupal. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't even have bothered because he doesn't take offense personally. We can, if we offend the Lord, he's willing to forgive that. He's willing to overlook that. But if we offend his servant, that is a different case altogether. You know, if we really want to commit spiritual suicide, if we really want to hurt ourselves and do real damage to ourselves, then, yeah, don't bother insulting Krishna. That's not going to do it. What you want to do is find, you know, look around the temple and find the most surrendered person you possibly can find. And then go up to that person and really insult them. Just harass the hell out of them. And, you know, really give them a hard time. And, yeah, that'll do it. If you really want to hurt yourself, then just find, you know, the most surrendered person you possibly can and just insult them. Now, they may not take offense at all. It may not bother them at all, and they may not hold anything against you, but Krishna will. Krishna definitely will. And if you're stupid enough to do that in the first place, then you may also be too stupid to understand who is the most surrendered person in the temple. So I'll give you a hint. How about Chandravali? You could say that she's this, she's that, she's not a good manager, whatever. But what you cannot say is that she's not an extremely surrendered devotee. So if you really want to do something very bad and very stupid and very foolish and practically the only possible thing that you could do to really hurt your chances for advancing at all in spiritual life, then that's what you do. Go up to her and just really insult her and offend her, and then be so stupid and arrogant to not even beg for forgiveness. Because you're so arrogant that you think you're right, even though everybody else in the temple is trying to tell you that you're not right. So that's my advice if you want to do something really, really bad and really, really foolish. Because practically anything else you do, Krishna is willing to forgive. That's the only thing that he won't forgive. So I'll stop here. Anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.